Hello, this is Dr. Gary Sherman, the Heart Guy, and I welcome you to our exciting and informative podcast titled The Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter, bringing you interesting discussions and conversations related to the vast and important subject of heart disease, heart failure, and organ donation, and everything related to those things in today's ever-changing world. I am extremely honored to have as my special guest today an inspiring contributor to our global organ donor advocacy community, Tanaya Wallace. Tanaya is the founder and director of Donate Life Hollywood, a project of the One Legacy Foundation that serves as a liaison between the organ donation community and the entertainment industry with the goal of seeing more authentic and empowering stories about donation and transplantation. Tanaya grew up on Hollywood sets with parents who worked behind the scenes on some of television's most beloved shows, including Give Me a Break, Alice, Wheel of Fortune, Days of Our Lives, In Living Color, United States of Tara, and my son's favorite, Breaking Bad, and so many more. Tanaya began working in the field of organ donation in 2002 when she joined One Legacy, the largest organ procurement organization in the United States, training thousands of volunteers and managing regional public educational initiatives. Tanaya served on the organizing committee of Donate Life California, which launched the state's donor registry. She was the founding committee member of the Donate Life Rose Parade Float and co-created the float's Rose Dedication Program. She has served on the board of Donate Life America, and she has developed National Donate Life Blue and Green Day, which I want to know a little more about, which now is celebrated each April as part of Donate Life Month. Tanaya holds a Bachelor of Arts from Tulane University in New Orleans and a Master's of Public Policy from the Luskin School of Public Affairs at UCLA. Tanaya is a native Los Angelino, and her children attended the same elementary school as she did. That's crazy. Tanaya, welcome to The Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter.
Thank you so much. I add in that part about my kids going to the same elementary school, because I feel like in Los Angeles, it's considered such this vast metropolis. And, you know, when you live here and you're a native, people are like, what, you grew up here? I'm like, yeah, my kids went to the same elementary school I went to. And so it's just one of those stunning facts, because yeah. LA is such a, it's a place where everyone comes to create their dreams. But people are like, oh, actually people are from Los Angeles too. So I'm right. One of those.
Yeah, it was your home. That's where you grew up. You know all the places everybody else doesn't know about too, which is really the best part about being from there. That's great. And so to that, before we get into the meat of the matter, could you share with me and our listeners a little bit about what it was like growing up in Hollywood? You know, some of the celebrities you might have known, and maybe one or two inside stories, but not too many because we got a lot to do, but we'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because everyone, we call Hollywood or the entertainment industry here, we just call it the industry, because everyone, so many people are employed in quote unquote the industry. So my mom and dad were both in the industry. My mom is a studio teacher, so she teaches the kids on set reading, writing, arithmetic. So they have to do 3 hours of school every day if they're on, you know, a sitcom or a movie or whatever. Huh. And then my dad was Local 33, which is the stagehand union. So he did everything from ins and outs to the big bands at the huge venues or lighting for the opera. He worked on Living Color and did props and special effects on Living Color. And he worked on Wheel of Fortune. And one of my favorite stories is that Vanna White gave me money to go to a thing called Close Up, which is this program in high school where you go to Washington, D.C. senior year. And I really wanted to do it. And so my dad took like the fundraising form in to work, and he was working on Wheel of Fortune. And Vanna White like signed her name and gave me, I don't know, $20 or whatever. But I was so excited about Vanna White giving me money to go to Close Up. But yeah, my mom, you know, my mom, because she teaches the kids, she gets very involved with the kids. So Joey Lawrence and the Lawrence family from Give Me a Break were over at our house a lot and very involved in our family. She taught Drew Barrymore when she did Irreconcilable Differences. And so Drew actually came to our house and like to a couple of my Girl Scout troop events as well. And then in high school, I ended up being best friends. Like he was in our group, this young man who was acting, and we were like, oh yeah, he's a good actor, whatever. And then he starred in a little movie called Titanic, and Leonardo DiCaprio just blew up in front of our very eyes. And we're like, wait, what? Yeah. We went to high school with Leo. So I think those are the kinds of things that just like they happen in LA because we're so close to the entertainment industry. But yeah, it was fun. It was a kick. I still get a kick going onto a set. The smell of it, the coolness of it, like cool in terms of actually cold on the set. You know, it's freezing on set. But just the little spark of Hollywood magic, it still gets me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so interesting. It's funny. I told this story to Dr. Hyanga on my last recording, but the main thing with me is I wanted to be a comedy writer. And that's what I always wanted to do. But my mother said, well, you can do that, but you got to be a doctor first, and then you can do that. So
that's hilarious.
I'm getting to live my dream now by being a storyteller in my older age. I'm living out the dream I always had,
I vowed in high school to never be part of the entertainment industry. No way. I was not going to do it because set decorating and other things, it's kind of exciting career. And I was like, no, hell no, I'm not doing anything in Hollywood. So I went and got a degree in public policy, political science, and then a master's degree in public policy and started working for nonprofit organizations. And I focused on the environmental community. And then in 2002, I was planning to get married and I needed a job at an organization that gave me like healthcare benefits and was, you know, a little more stable. And so this position at One Legacy came up and I applied for it. And I have been part of the organ donation community ever since. And so then, as it turned out, I ended up designing a project to work with the entertainment industry. So I always laugh that I vowed not to be part of Hollywood, but now I run Donate Like Hollywood. So never say never in your life.
Well, it's a great story. And you started it with One Legacy quite a while ago at this point. So I'll ask you, why don't Donate Life Hollywood? I mean, I think that's the first question that we can jump off with. Hollywood and organ donation. Tell us a little bit about why that's important.
You know, when I was started at One Legacy and I designed the volunteer program and I'd send people out to do these tabling events and do all of our public education and do the high school programs, it was clear to me that again and again, the people who had a concern about organ donation, right? People kind of fall into a couple camps. Like one is, hey, take everything. Why wouldn't I be a donor? And the other one is, well, I don't know. I heard this. And then the other one's just like, hell no. So you want to turn those people, well, and a lot of the concerns that people would tell us about seem to be coming from television storylines, right? So you'd be, instead of just debunking myths about donation, you were actually debunking Hollywood myths, things that Hollywood had generated and created this kind of sense of fear about organ donation. Then in 2007, and that all across the country, people who do public education about organ donation really know that people highlight specific television shows or movies and say, well, I saw this. Then in 2007, there was a woman named Dr. Susan Morgan. She's still around, still doing great research. And she did a series of research articles that showed quantitatively that when people who are not registered as donors are shown a television program that's filled with myths and fears about donation, that it stops people from wanting to register as donors. So they're less likely to register as donors after they watched these television programs. So she wrote up her findings in a series of articles. And at the conclusion of one of the articles, she said, the donation and transplant community must have a stronger voice in working with the entertainment industry. That was her call to action. So I took this research article and I took it to Tom Moen, who's the head of One Legacy, and I took it to David Fleming, who's the head of Donate Life America, and I was like, we got to do something about this. And because I had created a lot of other projects for One Legacy and nationally working on the float, working on the Rose Dedication Program, and having a background in the entertainment industry and looking at, you know, just living in the heart of Hollywood, they said, well, go do something about it. And so that was the launching point for this campaign, essentially, of Donate Like Hollywood.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I looked a little bit at some of Dr. Morgan's research, and she had listed like 80 storylines between medical dramas and police shows and comedies and daytime soap operas on all the major networks. And I don't even realize, I was a big TV watcher as a young person, and I don't think that I even realized that that was really going on. And it brings to mind to me the fact that unless you are involved with these issues personally in one way or another, whether they affect you yourself or somebody in your family, you don't really tune into it. You don't. And one of the hardest things about getting people to pay attention to these issues is getting them to listen. It is interesting that way. But I think even subliminally, maybe the negative messaging, as you pointed out to me, is not good for organ donation.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something we have to work at.
My kids are so funny. My son in particular, he's like, is that really a job, just working on organ donation in Hollywood? Like, how can that be a job? And then we'll be watching, I don't know, the Good Place or Community or, you know, just any show that we watch as a family. And inevitably, in some episode, there's a punchline about organ donation or a strange storyline about organ donation. And so now they know to just stop it, rewind, so I can take out my camera and videotape that, you know, that section. But yeah, it's ubiquitous, right? Like there, it's everywhere, and you don't really see it until you start looking. And Dr. Morgan definitely was doing that looking, was doing that digging. And one of the interesting things in her research was not only that there were like 80 storylines in the 2 or 3 years that she was doing the research, but that none of them were positive and none of them were accurate. Right? The two, none of them were positive, none of them were accurate. The other really important part of her research that I think is part of my goal to express to writers when I'm like, hey, get organ donation right, is the fact that with other social causes or other medical conditions, the public has a personal connection to it so that they can counter what they see on television. So for instance, if there was a storyline about chemotherapy and the person was getting chemotherapy through their little toe, people would be like, no, I know people who have been through chemo. That's not how it happens. Or, you know, even in relationship to, you know, stories about the police or stories about other social issues, we have personal experience, each one of us, so that then we can kind of assess whether or not what we're seeing on television is realistic or not. With organ donation, as you just said, not many people have an experience of it. So there's 100,000 people on the waiting list, but in percentage wise of America, that's small. And only less than 1% of people can be donors because of the way that you have to pass away. Less than 1%. So very few people have actual personal experience with either being a donor or a recipient. And so when there's inaccuracies on television, people believe what they see. And that's so critical as to why Hollywood has to get it right.
Yeah. It also hooks into communication. You know, what we're finding out now with COVID-19 is the way to getting that pandemic to disappear or dissipate, is the best medicine for that is good communication. And this is just along those same lines. The media, obviously, and movies and television is a form of communication. So if the communication is not clear, it creates confusion, and then confusion creates fear, and then we don't get to the bottom of things. So
right.
It's so interesting. It's really all connected.
Yeah. There's also research that shows the opposite, too. Like when there are positive messages and proactive and quality messages embedded in television shows, it leads to the public's understanding of a cause so much more. So when I was working with Three Rivers, which was a short-lived television program all about transplantation on CBS, I had the opportunity to read every single script to inform its accuracy. And what we saw during the time period that the show was on, OPOs would contact me all the time and say, hey, we just had a family say yes to donation because they want to save lives, like on the TV show. And then there was some research that was done that showed there was a 6% increase in the public's willingness to register as a donor in a single year. And really the only different thing that happened that year was that television show. So Hollywood has such a strong impact impact on people's perception of all kinds of things, but on organ donation in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. So interesting. You brought up a term called edutainment. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what that really means?
Yeah. So that is that process of embedding accurate information and then oftentimes doing a testing afterwards. So doing some testing in the public about people's perception or understanding of, you know, some disease or some way that perhaps the virus is contracted, you know, COVID, you can do some public testing, then have a storyline that actually has good information that's created and crafted into the storyline, and then do a testing afterwards to see how the public's understanding and knowledge and perception of an issue has changed. And so there is a whole, I worked with a professor at USC who did a whole course on edutainment, and I oftentimes present at her course and let the students at USC know, it's part of a communications course, and let students know how we at Donate Life Hollywood have been able to help the entertainment industry and help writers to craft more positive storylines. And then we see that bump in public perception and awareness and support for organ donation. So it's actually a field of study, which is interesting.
So do these celebrities actually play a role in education personally? Do you find that they get involved through the roles that they play in these movies and television programs?
It's a good question. There are several celebrities that have been, you know, touched by donation personally. The vast majority are kidney recipients. Selena Gomez is probably our most famous, but, you know, George Lopez, and, there's just a bunch that are personally touched by donation and in terms of getting a transplant. There are actually some very famous donors as well that don't get as much of attention, but there are some celebrities who have been touched by donation on the donation side. So Katherine Heigl's brother was an organ donor. Natasha Richardson, who was married to Liam Neeson, she died in a skiing accident and became an organ donor. So it really varies on how active people get in terms of being public about organ donation and transplant. Selena Gomez has definitely used her platform to bring awareness to lupus and to kidney donation in general. She actually just did a tweet recently because she was the butt of a couple of jokes on a couple of sitcoms. And she wrote, "Hey, I don't know why transplant has become a joke. And I would ask that the next time that writers are in the writer's room, that you kind of nip that in the bud and you not make a joke about transplantation because it's not a joke." So that was really encouraging for her to be using her platform and voice to really speak out and call upon, especially the elimination of that kidney punchline, like, "Well, I don't know where I'll get the money. I guess I'll just sell a kidney." So we're launching and really going to focus on this for next year, but to do a call to action to writers to drop the punchline, to really just eliminate that sell your kidney punchline, which is in The Simpsons and Entourage, and we're collecting a whole list. So if anyone listening, if you guys hear a kidney punchline, we're keeping track of them all. So you can download the DLH Activate app and use the report a myth function and just send us a note of where you saw that kidney punchline, because we are going after all the shows and writers and asking Hollywood to eliminate the punchline as a key call to action for the next year.
Wow. And we'll get to the app in a minute, because I want people who are listening to know more about that. So how is the success of Donate Life Hollywood measure? How can you keep track of knowing that, you know, the actions that we take are actually effective?
It's a good question for all public education with organ donation. You know, one of the things that makes public education about organ donation so complicated and so difficult is that you are trying to share information with literally everyone, because everyone from an infant to a 100-year-old can be a donor. So you don't really have an age range. It can be all ethnicities, all ages, all genders. Everyone can be an organ donor. So how public education is usually tracked and measured is in terms of registration rates, the number of people who are signing up to be donors. But that usually happens at the DMV. So you could do a huge public education campaign, spend a lot of money on it, and not see an increase in registrations right away, because people's DMV cycles are like 5-7 years, right? So it is hard to measure public education, and it's also hard to target a specific audience. You know, if you were doing a message about vaping, you would target 13 to 17 year olds and at a certain demographic and go after them. Whereas organ donation, we're talking to everybody, and yet less than 1% of those people will actually become donors at the end of their life. So it's a very interesting thing. With Donate Life Hollywood, we're looking at the number of positive storylines versus the number of inaccurate storylines. We're looking for engagement. So, for instance, recently we did a partnership with CBS. CBS again, I love CBS, with their television show called Be Positive. And they did a PSA for 3 times in the month of March, which is Kidney Awareness Month. And we wrote the PSA, Donate Life Hollywood wrote the PSA, and it was specifically to encourage people to consider living kidney donation. We directed people to a microsite called Be Like Gina. Gina is the main character who is an organ donor, a living donor. So we want people to be like Gina and say, sure, you can have my kidney. So we directed people there. We worked with all the kidney organizations, all the national kidney organizations. With 3 10-second PSAs, we saw 21,000 people go to the site, 50 people sign up to consider living donation, and 4 people go through the process of becoming a living donor. So it's funny, those numbers, but to actually motivate someone who's just sitting on their couch watching a sitcom to actually take any kind of action, especially to go through the process of becoming a living donation, that was really powerful. So, you know, we just track and monitor and are looking for an increase in the number of positive organ donation storylines.
Incredible. Yeah, it's so interesting. So let me get, I want to talk more about some of the other things that you do, because I know the app is not the only thing that you do for this cause. Can you share with me and our listeners more about the DLH Activate app, how people can get it, and how they can get, and other ways they can get involved?
Yeah, perfect. So it's available on the Google Play Store and the Apple iTunes Store. Put in DLH and then Activate app, and obviously free to download. We would encourage you to go through the registration section. This app is really intended for people who are personally touched by donation, and it is our rapid response tool. So one of the things that we find in influencing Hollywood, it's sort of a carrot and a stick, or a two-pronged approach. One is to track every single organ donation storyline and respond. So if it's positive, hey, good work, congratulations, we're going to give you an award, we love what you're doing. And if it's negative, then we want to say, hey, that wasn't right. And you need to be working with the professionals. You need to be working with Donate Life Hollywood. You need to be really tweaking your storylines, because that was inaccurate. So calling Hollywood on their inaccuracies is such an important part of this process that they hear from us in the donation and transplant community. So what the app does, sends you a notification whenever there's anything on television about organ donation. And then you go into the response section, and there's preset tweets for Twitter and Facebook, preset notifications. You just hit send on it, and it goes to your social media group. So we put in all the right hashtags. We put the network or the whatever it is that needs to be in there. You just click send, and then the television show, the writers, all of the folks that we're trying to speak at, especially through Twitter, it's very effective. We're speaking with one voice as a community, as a donation and transplant, as the Donate Life community. We are all speaking with one voice. So in the olden days, how we used to do responses is I used to do letter writing campaigns.
We used to write with a pen. I think it was a pen that we used to use. Yeah.
I think, yeah. We used to write with a pen and send, and then try and figure out who do we send these to? Do we send them to CBS or the production company, or how do we find the person and send bucket loads of letters? But now with social media, we can basically speak at the television shows, and it has been very effective for them to hear. But it works best when we're all saying it, not just Donate Like Hollywood, but everyone who's personally touched by donation and transplantation. So the app is our way of keeping everyone personally touched by donation connected to Hollywood and getting them to influence. You can also share your personal story. So if you go to the Advocate, you can see where you can share your story. And what we like to do is kind of 1 minute segments of little pieces of your story. And then we put those on accessdlh.org, which is our website that's designed specifically for the audience of the entertainment industry, for writers, because writers are often writing at midnight. You know, like, they don't want an expert consultation from me. They're writers. They don't want to talk to me. So they can just go to Access DLH and hear from you and your story. And by hearing that authentic voice, that's how writers really create more authentic characters, more authentic storylines from hearing from the people themselves. So you can share your own story. There's a news section. So we keep track of anything in the news when it comes to organ donation in Hollywood. We have the responses. So we're really trying to just give people a one-stop shop for that bridge or that liaison, that connection between everything organ donation and everything Hollywood.
I'm going to definitely start diving into it as soon as I sit down. Always have my phone in my hand anyway, so I'm going to go right in there.
Great.
And start getting involved in it. It sounds exciting. It
yes.
sounds like a really neat kind of way to be involved.
Right on the front is the report a myth, because we do watch a lot of these shows, but a lot of times people will be like, hey, did you see last night on Grey's Anatomy? And I'll be like, I didn't see that. So let me go look at that.
Yeah.
And then I can, when people let me know about any storyline, and it could be something in the past, it could be, you know, have aired many years ago. We keep track, Donate Like Hollywood keeps track of every single organ donation and transplant storyline from very far into the past, as well as any mention or punchline. So if you see anything on television, just let us know what network it was on, what television show it is or movie, and then an episode. If you can figure out the episode name, that's always helpful.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm going to start focusing on it on even more. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was always, I'm picking on everything that they say wrong about the heart transplant situation or LVADs, which they're starting to bring out on some shows. But now that I've broadened my horizons, it's going to be everything. I'll never get off the television, I don't think.
Well, see, we all like watch it and want to just yell at the screen and be like, no, that's not how it works.
That's not it.
So now just open your app, do report a myth and be like, these people are crazy. This was so bad.
Great.
So, and then we can develop a national response to that and try to reach out to the writers and stuff.
So interesting. Tell me a little. So as far as you're concerned, you've been involved with this now for at least 15 years, right? Maybe more, a little bit.
I think it's 20 years next year.
20 years. Yeah. So tell us about the Donate Life Rose Parade float. And I'm not sure what Donate Life Blue and Green Day is.
Oh, so well, that's
I know that
fun.
That emblem. I always see that emblem with a blue and green emblem. So I know it's a got to do with that, but share with me a little bit about those things.
Yeah, the Donate Life Rose Parade flow started pretty soon after I started with One Legacy. I think 2004 might have been our first, but I was there at ground zero to create that. And it is the biggest national initiative or effort to raise awareness about organ donation. And it really harnesses the power of something that people are already watching, a big tent, if you will. So the Rose Parade is already watched by millions of people, mm-hmm. you know, tons of people in the stands. And then there are a lot of partners, organ procurement organizations and transplant centers who sponsor a rider or a walker or a florograph. And the florographs are donors, people who have passed away and become organ donors. So then what you're able to do is get that national attention, that national press on organ donation, but each of the local organizations, by sponsoring a writer or sponsoring a fluorograph, is able to get significant press coverage in their own regional areas as well, which is so important, both for the OPOs, because they really just cover certain regions, as well as the transplant centers, because they want to bring attention, you know, to their specific center and what they're doing. So it was a really great idea. Brian Stewart was really the driving force. There was a man whose name was Gary Foxen, who was a lung recipient, and he wrote a letter to One Legacy and said, I think we should do a Rose Parade. And Brian, you know, kind of took it from there and built out this Rose Parade experience. It's very powerful. I think with COVID, it's a little weird, but in the future, if you're personally touched by donation, I would definitely encourage just coming out to the parade. You can place a rose. So you can go online and dedicate a rose. And then if you're in California, if you're in Pasadena, you can personally place the rose on the float, get a photograph, and feel the magic. There are decorating shifts that you can sign up for. So you can decorate the Donate Life Rose Parade float, which people have been doing for the last, you know, over 15 years. It's a very powerful experience of bringing bringing our whole community. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, like the transplant games. It's very powerful to bring everyone together. Yes. Same thing with this. And it gets really significant media attention. It is the largest thing that we do under the Donate Life brand that receives as much media attention as it does. And it is the Donate Life Rose Parade Flow, and the One Legacy Foundation really organizes it all. So just like with Donate Life Hollywood, we're using that national Donate Life brand to elevate the national message. And it is funded primarily and run by the One Legacy Foundation.
Yeah. All these things, you know, in my life, I've been lucky to meet people and to actually have gone through what I've gone through. But when you go to these kind of events and you take part of them and you do these kind of things yourself, it makes you feel so good. It makes you feel happy and gives you so much meaning in your own life. It actually serves you, you know, the person who's actually taking that action, as much as it serves the people that you're doing it for. So I think it's a powerful thing for people to do. I think it would bring them a lot of happiness, you know, just to be able to give back and be at these events and see what's going on. It's very powerful, as you've said.
It's powerful in building relationships with the entertainment industry, too. There was one writer for New Amsterdam whose mother received a liver transplant, and we built a relationship with her. She did great storyline. We gave her a DLH Inspire Award. And then another gentleman who had a concept for an organ donation show, and so I was working with him, found out he's the writer-director of Crank, which is kind of a very fast-paced movie. He has a personal connection to donation through his wife's family. So I invited the writer and the director to come with their families and place a rose on the Donate Life float on behalf of their loved ones. And so they got their picture taken and they were part of it. And I gave them a little tour of the float and all of that kind of stuff. And it meant so much to them. And those two people continue to be very supportive and involved with Donate Life Hollywood. So the float is a great way, you know, tying people, the entertainment industry or celebrities or Hollywood in general, when you can really pull at their heartstrings and show them the beauty and the power and the transformative nature of organ donation and be like, hey, we're not sci-fi and horror films, right? We're this uplifting, amazing storytelling, and give them those opportunities. It really helps to build those relationships. So I continue to bring Hollywood to the float because it does that so well.
Great. This is great. I could go on, you know, talking to you about this stuff forever, but so I'll just ask you in closing, what is DLH working on right now? Is there anything going on right now, a project that's going on or two that you're working on?
Yeah. So we just launched this Drop the Punchline concept. And so for the next, you know, 12 months at least, we are going to be reaching out to these writers and directors and producers who we've been working closely with and gain their commitment to never use a sell a kidney punchline. And that's just like, it's kind of the first start, but it's a reminder, like, no, don't do that. And kind of get them to think about, you know, the impact of their storytelling. Yeah. So we're going to do the Drop the Punchline. We have an amazing webinar, the DLH Writers Panel, on November 4th at 12 p.m. Pacific time, where we're going to be talking about stories of faith. And so we're going to be talking to one man who is a writer, director, who did a movie called A Question of Faith, which was a very powerful story about organ donation. He does other faith-based storylines. And so again, pulling organ donation out of the genre of horror and sci-fi, it really kind of belongs in that space of faith and those faith storytelling. So we're going to be talking about what we like to do with our writers panels is sort of not just focus on organ donation, but pull it out. So we did stories of motherhood, stories of causes, stories of resilience. This will be our stories of faith. And then in December, we're going to do kind of a movie night sort of thing and talk about organ donation in Christmas movies, because there are several Christmas movies about organ donation. And I have been pitching a couple of networks about the idea of doing, you know, organ donation with Christmas, because again, it's that heartwarming story that you want to hear at Christmas time. So we'll do a writer's panel about Christmas stories then. So that's what we have coming up for the next few months.
That's definitely new. Those things are so great. I look forward to following everything that you're doing tonight. This has been my great honor to have you as a guest on The Heart of the Matter. And on behalf of myself and our listeners, I thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for the globe. Oh, no, this, you're doing so much for everybody. Your tireless work with Donate Life Hollywood, your extraordinary contributions and accomplishments with everything you've been doing over the last, I won't say 20 years because you look so young, I'm not going to say 20, but however long that was, and certainly for sharing this time with us. I hope that we can do this again soon, and I look forward to it with all the new stories. So I hope to, let's get together again in a little bit, maybe in a few months.
I would love it. Thank you so much.
Oh, great. That is our podcast for today. Please join me next time for another intriguing, informative, and entertaining conversation. Please visit our website at www.drheart2heart.net for upcoming podcasts, or if you want me to host an online presentation for your group or organization. If you'd like to be a guest on the Heart Guy Presents the Heart of the Matter podcast, just email me at theheartguyspeaks@gmail.com. We have a podcast website where you can find all of our podcasts. It's just theheartguyspeaks.com on any device, and you're right in. And our podcast could, of course, be found on Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all that. Just search The Heart Guy Presents The Heart of the Matter. And until next time, this is Dr. Gary German wishing you peace and hope.